Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do the review, stuck it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. Joining me today in a chair which is rocking backwards and forwards, it's quite actually distracting when you sit there.
Sorry.
No, it's fun. It's Juliana. Say hello, Juliana.
Hi, everyone.
And so in fact, instead of doing one book, we're actually going to be doing two books.
Ooh,
I said okay. Whenever I finish a book, I do a review. In this case, that is not true, because what I realized is, actually, let me just go over here. On sfbrp.com/episode lists, there's a, you can see every book that I review. You can see the ratings of all the books, the length of the podcast, all these different kind of things on there as well. You can also see this thing called series, and it says what series the book is from, and also what number of the series. So it says here, Embers of War number one, Artificial Condition, Murderbot Diaries number two, A Deepness in the Sky, Zones of Thought, number two, Semiosis Duology, Interference, number two. And I realised, I'm reading lots of number twos. Interdependency, number two. Ancient Cormac, number two. Children of Time, number two. Murder Book Diaries, number two. Zones of Thought, number two. Semiosis Duology, number two. So I realised,
A stretch of number two.
Yeah, lots of, Semiosis, number one, and Recursion, and some other ones as well. But I realised what I'm doing is, it's always really tricky to review. Well, it's not so much tricky to review a book which is in a series, because you can say, in the first book this was set up, and then we continue on with the story here, and then you can talk about the complete story.
Books are actually quite tricky.
Yeah, but in Zones of Thought, Deepness in the Sky, it's a standalone novel which just happens to be there. And also in Interference, which is the Semiosis Duology, it's the second book, but the key thing is it's not the second book in a trilogy, it's the second book in a duology. In other words, it's the end of the story. As we go through, it's the end of the story.
Okay.
And you get that same kind of thing in other books as well. If it's like not a trilogy, it's a series. So we read The Consuming Fire, Interdependency number two, and it's sort of like, this is a bit more of the story, not this is the middle story of a trilogy.
Yeah.
So, or it's always that middle trilogy book or novel or movie or anything, which is always a bit tricky, because you're going, right, we all know that when this book comes to the end, there's going to be another bit of story.
Coming. Yeah.
And, which you don't get that in the first book of the series or of a trilogy, because the first book is setting everything up and it has to kind of tell a story which kind of has an arc. The characters go on arc, everything's introduced and everything's set up.
Yeah.
And there's a big payoff and you're like, great. And often with books, especially first novels, you're like, if this book is good, we want two more books in that series, please, or to make it into a trilogy. So often the first book is very much a standalone book.
Yes, unless it is just the author wrote a very, 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 very chunky book.
And then split it into three.
And then the editor said, oh, look, this can't be put in one. We just split this one book into two or three books.
Yeah.
That happens too.
It does happen too.
What comes to my head immediately is Peter Hamilton.
Yes. Well, yeah, he always goes, because he's a big enough author that he knows that he's going to write a trilogy.
Yeah.
He's not, like, establishing himself as a new author with something like, Ancillary Justice comes out, and everyone's blown away by Ancillary Justice. Like, this is an amazing book, and it is a novel in its own right. It's a standalone novel.
Yeah.
That there was two more books that made it into a trilogy is...
It's more like, please, more of that.
Bring us more of that. And in that series, it was worth going on. But then you get Nine Fox Gambit, where the first one is so great, and then the second two are still okay novels, and there's interesting stuff going on with them. But it's sort of like, in that one, you get to the end of the first book, and it's sort of like, and now Jadao and whoever it is, they're going to now take on the enemy and defeat the enemy. And you're like, all right. And then the second and third book are like, and what we said in the last chapter of the first book they were going to do, they do.
They did.
And that's it. And you're like, the stories didn't take a turn. And you always want that big turn in the second book, which like rewrites the rules a bit. And then in the third book, like rewrites the rules and sets everything back onto its original course or takes a different course again.
Yeah. Or you just get a really just one single good outstanding single book.
What, like all the way through?
Well, just not a second book third book.
Yeah, yeah. I sometimes want this one. However, after I read the first book in the series that we're talking about, which is the Wormwood Trilogy, or is it the Rosewater Trilogy? What's it called? Let me go over here. Rosewater, and then Rosewater Insurrection, and then Rosewater Redemption, and it's the Wormwood trilogy.
Okay, who wrote this again?
What's that?
Who wrote this again?
This is by Tade Thompson.
Oh, right, yes.
And you read the first, after I read and reviewed the first book, you have also read the first book.
Yes.
You got it as an ebook, didn't you, and read it?
Probably.
Yes, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you have any thoughts about that first book, or you enjoyed it? It was good fun?
I think I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it at the time,
though. I don't remember so much, though.
I think I might have been away on a work trip, and you must have finished it then. Otherwise, we would have talked about it, because you'd have
probably
said, hey, I finished the book, like we just did with this.
Are you sure we didn't talk about this on the podcast?
Maybe, but the thing is, I don't remember what conversations we have talking about things.
We have so many conversations.
And then, Juliana was saying, hey, what we should do is just record the conversations that we always have
the general conversations we have.
No, but specifically you said picking me up in the car when I come back from a work trip and I've just had a transatlantic flight. And you're like, you've just watched four movies and then you always want to talk about the four movies that you want to watch. So it's like quick fire. Okay, 5 minutes on this movie, 5 minutes that way. Here's my opinions on this latest Pixar movie and something. And then we arrive home 20 minutes later and we're doing it.
So apparently I read it at the beginning of the year.
Oh, at the beginning of this
9th year. 9th of January 2019. And I gave it 4 stars. So
okay, yes.
I guess I enjoyed
yes,
it.
Yes, you did enjoy it.
Yeah, and here it says the Wormwood Trilogy.
Yeah, well, I read this almost exactly a year ago. I reviewed it on the 15th of December last year. So it's almost exactly a year ago that I finished the first book. So yeah, it's been a long time since I read the first one and a long time. However, as first books go, I thought it was really, really good. I gave it 4 stars because it is just, I always love an author and it's their first novel and they're like, I've got a crazy idea. And every crazy idea goes in that book.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You've got this thing and this alien kind of arrives in London, but then it goes to Nigeria and it's always a bit mysterious what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's then like, a city.
Isn't this like with the mind playing stuff? Like this dome where they go in.
There's
the mind stuff happens.
Yeah, it's a bit sort of like Roadside Picnic where there's these area X's kind of thing like that. But in this case, it's a dome. And the dome is, they always say like it's a few hundred meters high, but it's like 30 kilometers across, or is it 30 kilometers around? Anyway,
yeah,
it's very, very big.
Yeah.
So if you walk all the way around this alien infestation part,
biodome
this wormwood
thing.
Biodome, yeah. If you walk all the way around it, it's a 30-kilometer long walk.
Mm.
So then they call the city of Rosewater becomes the donut. In other words, it's like a circular city around something else.
True.
And they go, all right, we're going to need water, and the water is just a water pipe that goes all the way around, and we need a road, which is just a single road that goes
around
all the way,
it.
And then we need a metro system. So the metro stop is just this, you know, is just this metro that goes all the way around the outside.
Like a ring
barn. Yeah, like the ring barn. In Berlin.
In Berlin,
but just imagine the ring barn with nothing in the middle of it. That's the kind of thing that you're talking about there.
Yeah.
So,
and isn't there like this one day when there's this celebration and then it opens up and people go in and
something happens? The reason why everybody wants to live next to it is that an economy and like a whole, you know, commercial enterprise builds up because one day per year, or is it every 6 months anyway, what happens is that the doors open and some kind of weird emanations come out of it. And if you've got anything wrong with you, it heals you. It kind of repairs your DNA, puts you back together again, grows missing limbs.
Or extra limbs, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
extra
limbs.
No, but that's the thing. So what happens, it will just heal you, but sometimes it'll heal you with a quirk.
Yeah.
And so some people try and manipulate these quirks by kind of like rearranging their limbs or like cutting wings off of an eagle and then slashing them, like slashing their back open and then putting them nearby. So hopefully when they come out, they can like...
They grow the wings into their body.
So there's lots of... In these novels, there's lots of body horror. There's lots of body modifications and things like that. All right. So the first book ends with... Well, we don't need to go into it, but that's the setup. Okay.
Yes.
And so
who
then
are we following? Isn't that the main character?
Yes, so the main character is... Let me just quickly look, because it changes in the second book. So in the first book, the main character is very much Caro, and we discover things about Caro, and we discover through Caro's story and his interaction, we discover a lot about Wormwood, which is this alien.
Entity thing.
And there's all these other kind of things. There's this angel going on. There's someone who sets things on fire. There's all these other kind of crazy stuff going on. So what we get in the first book is very much like, like the backstory and what is Wormwood and how did it arrive and why is Kaoru special and how does he have why does he have this connection with Wormwood where other people don't?
Yeah.
And we learn a lot about S-45, which it was set up as sort of like the X-Files. What do you call
it's like a special division.
It was a special division of Nigerian stuff of their like intelligence section, which was mostly to find people who were being controlled or being being like abused by witch doctors and also Christian fundamentalist kind of groups.
Yes.
So they're like, oh, if someone says there's miracles going on, a witch doctor is doing it, we go in, investigate it, because if we don't, sometimes they'll get too much power because the people out in the country or some people,
they
the desperate people. Yeah, they're superstitious.
Yeah.
And they get... but of course, when an alien turns up, they're the one group which
is the biggest.
Yeah, well, they're the one group who's sort of like weird supernatural stuff's going on, or claims of supernatural stuff's going on.
Yeah.
You go and investigate and make sure nobody is being taken advantage of, which then turns into the agency to like keep an eye out for aliens in the world.
Yeah.
And one of the most important things though that they have is the they call it the xenosphere? No, what do they call it? Some kind of sphere where all these spores in the atmosphere, and these spores like attach to all of these other little spores, and also they attach to the skin of humans and then into the nerve receptors of the humans and kind of burrow in and pick up things.
Yeah.
So all the way around, you're like, how does telepathy work? Well, it works that this alien has like made these really spores in the world, and you can influence the minds of other people, and that's what Kaoru's.
So that is a little bit like Solaris, kind of like.
Yes.
Alien influences.
Yeah, influences your mind and all that other kind of stuff. And if you need special powers, what you're actually doing is that you're interacting with these like microparticles in the air, which have made this xenosphere. I know, actually, I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, something like that. Is it xenosphere?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's just call it that from now on, even if it's not the right word. it's a way that you can communicate telepathy and also like get the thoughts out of people. And that's what Kaoru's mind is, that he influences people's minds. Like he is Professor X in the X-Men. Like, he's the one who can read your mind, get information out of your mind and control stuff. And other people have other kind of like superpowers, but it's not really presented as superpowers because it's so like gritty and everything's like, wow, like, you know. I was like, anyway, so that's the first book, sets it up. What's Wormwood doing here? Who's Wormwood? What's with the healings? What's with the mind? You know, it all sets it up. Now, the second book is called The Rosewater Insurrection, and the main character switches over to two other main characters. One of them is Aminat, who is the it says the lover of retired sensitive Kaoru. So Kaoru, like,
we got introduced to her.
Yeah. So
I remember her name.
So she is an agent who her and Kaoru get together.
Yeah.
And but then the second book, Kaoru is, he kind of becomes a hermit. He just sits at home and works on his mental powers for a long time. You know, so he doesn't want to be in it. And there's not any sensitives left because they're all being killed off, I think, in the end of the end of the first book or the beginning of the second book. So I'm a little bit now. I might get a little bit hazy of what happens in these two books because I'm reviewing two books at once here. But really what I'm doing is I'm reviewing the whole trilogy.
The
trilogy starts off really great, 4-star book. So the second book comes up with this idea of...
Oh, who's the other person? You said there's
another... Oh, I'm going to say,
So
we follow Aminat as being one of these agents and, you know, having to keep track of things and control things, investigate things and generally keep track of Wormwood, the alien. The other one is a guy called Jack Jax. And Jack Jax is the mayor of Rosewater, of the city.
Yeah.
And it's revealed right at the start of the second book that there has been this kind of, they call them the Silent Group, I think. And the Silent Group is this group of African business people and political leaders and like influential people who said, we are sick of Africa being a hotbed of strongman politics.
Yeah.
So in other words, a Mugabe comes along and takes over the country, disrupts all the democratic stuff,
and stays there forever.
And stays there until there's a coup, and then the next strongman comes
then the
over, and then he
comes
does
in,
that,
yeah.
and then they stay there, and then he's in power for the next 25 years, until there's another coup, you know, like the kind of stuff. So they're like, we are going to get together like a generation of leaders. We're going to use our connections to put in place these people who have been, and we will kind of mentor them into the practices of democracy and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to position these leaders around like around Africa, West Africa nations to put them. So I quite like that. So this is like this conspiracy in the background. Mm-hmm. Of course, everything's happening now in like 2060 something or 2050 yeah. something. So, you know, there's enough time for all of this to have like transpired. And it's kind of needed because America has closed itself off to the world. Do you remember that? There's a shield over America. So America's over there doing its own thing and yeah. nothing can, no information yeah. gets in or out and stuff like that. So there's kind of this void and these countries are like, oh, we need some strength. So Jack Jax is one of these people, but he didn't finish his mentoring thing because as soon as he saw...
So he is the mentee and he's being mentored.
He was being mentored back in the past.
Yeah.
And then what happens as soon as Wormwood turns up, he's like, oh, this is where the power is going to be. And even if it isn't, this is my bet.
I need to establish myself there.
This is my bet. So he just turns up there, immediately gets himself in with the criminal organization there to gain their trust and gain their power mm-hmm. and slowly gains political power. So as it starts off and it's just a shanty town. And throughout these two books, you get flashbacks to his past where they say, you know, he's meeting his love interest in the book and saying, hey, look at this. This is going to be my domain. Like, so come with me and like join my team. She's like, yeah, but it's just a shanty town. It's like, now, but I'm going to put in place roads. I'm going to put in place a metro system. So it becomes this city is very much more about the politics of this kind of stuff. So this entire second two books of the trilogy is pretty much the Jack Jax trilogy and the cast of characters that come with him. Okay. And Aminat is brought into that cast of people as well. And then there's other people. He's got this, his assistant called Laura. And Laura was, it's one of those weird things that I wasn't quite sure of the reasoning, but when he gets part of this silent group or whatever it's mm-hmm, called, mm-hmm. they give him a sex robot so he doesn't get involved with other people. I think this is it.
He can't be, you know, I think it's clever because if you give somebody a sex robot, they can't then be lured into something and then filmed and then blackmailed.
I think that's the idea, that it's sort of like
avoiding a
shield against blackmail, but he immediately just goes, well, I'm not interested in that. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to give her normal clothes and she's just going to be my personal assistant and I'm just going to upgrade her. So his personal assistant is Laura, who is like massively powerful, but by her programming is latched onto him.
He's you know, a sex robot in mind.
Well, no, she isn't a sex robot in mind.
Oh, okay.
But like what I'm saying is she imprints, you know, like when the geese, the little goslings hatch out and they imprint on the first thing that they see.
Yeah.
And if it's their mother, they imprint on that.
Yeah.
And if it's some kind of hang glider, they fly along with hang glider because they imprinted, you know, on that. So she's imprinted on him. So she's totally loyal to him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't treat her like a sex object. Mm. He treats her like, hey, you know what's really handy? Is to have someone who knows all of my business and knows all of my connections and all that kind of stuff.
And I know they're going to be...
And also someone who can shield him from someone. And he's saying, but what's happening here? What's happening with this thing and this thing? Like at one point, they're like, there's these four like dark sites, black sites, whatever they have, like where other agencies are working in Wormwood. And he said, I didn't know about any of these. But he says, well, of course you don't know about them. You're the mayor. You have to have... Like, we can't tell you everything that's going on in the city.
Right.
You need that deniability. And he's like, don't do that. It's important. I need to know about this kind of stuff. So also kind of like a political shield as well. So her, following along with her and seeing what it's like to be from the point of view, because her relationships with people is like really weird because nobody knows that she's a sex bot.
But they know that she's a robot. Like she's
No, they don't.
Treat her like a human being.
A human, but a human who's kind of a bit weird. And then when she has a relationship with someone and then she's like, I've got a secret to tell you. But, you know, and there's all of that. Again, I don't want to give too much away because
throughout these
two books, it's some really good fun there.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where the novel doesn't need to have a character like that in it. Like the story...
But it affects
the story and it just affects it. So the Rosewater Insurrection is pretty much Jack Jax declaring... for various reasons, political reasons and things like that, that Rosewater, the city, is going to become an independent city-state and he's going to be there.
That's kind
and
of
then
what
there's
I expected.
An insurrection, then there's a siege. And siege novels, like these, often a middle novel in a trilogy, I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but I've read it quite often where the middle one will become a siege. It happens quite a lot in fantasy because in the first one there's a quest, in the second one there's a battle and then they're like, oh, and now there's going
to
be a siege and then in the third
one
and
the fourth,
yeah, you've got to deal with the outcome, and often there's in fantasy books there's a siege, so that's what happens here. But it's kind of interesting if you have a siege where if anybody is injured, they can immediately be... Oh, that's one of the changes in this book, is that it switches round. So instead of being healed only once or twice per year, it's a continuous thing.
Okay. And it constantly heals people.
Just constantly heals people.
Oh, God.
So yeah, it's the rules change a bit as they interact with it and as they get more and more connections with that and not. There's some other characters come in, someone wakes up and she doesn't have any memories, and so you get her point of view. I can't remember her name as well, but so she's obviously got a connection and they're trying to work out what her connection is, and Aminat is trying to protect that lady who is, she wakes up and she goes, well, I don't have any connection with my daughter and my husband.
Oh,
and
they
know who I am, they remember me, but I have nothing with them,
because
my mind has been wiped, or have I been replaced? There's that whole kind of imposter syndrome. Not imposter syndrome, that's a different thing. Well, there's one where you don't remember, like, you don't remember any, like, emotional connections with people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's the whole man who thought his wife was a hat kind of thing that you... there's a syndrome where you look at somebody and you think you've been replaced by an... So you're a stranger to me and you've been replaced by somebody else. And that's because you're looking at them and the issue in your brain is that you're not having any emotional connection to them.
Yeah.
Like when I look at you, I'm like, oh, my girlfriend there, like that. And I've got all these bubbly feelings. But if I looked at you and recognized your face, but didn't have any of those feelings, I'd be like, are you an alien? Are you a model? Are you a picture of you? You know,
I know this concept, but...
And so, yeah, it's about that. So then the third, and then they make a, and then at the end of it...
So
they,
this is all the, in the second
in
book.
In the second book. And then at the end of it, they again, may have a new understanding of what the alien is and what's going on there.
Do they actually communicate with it?
Yes, very much so. As it goes through, in the first book, it's very mysterious what the alien is, and nobody's quite sure what the motive is of this wormwood.
Yeah.
In the second book, that's revealed a lot more. And then the third book is kind of like how that all plays out.
Yeah.
After the insurrection... After Rosewater has its independence, I'd say independence, like I'm not like
in air quotes,
again a stronger connection with the and it's then that there's like a gap of about a year, I think, or something. Which is quite funny, is there's a gap of about enough time for them to build a new airport in the city.
Well, sometimes that can take more than 1 year, as
we
know.
Yeah, maybe it can. If you live in Berlin, you know that it can take 15 years to build a new airport. Either way, I thought that was quite a fun way of showing time passing, as how long it takes to build a new airport.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the relations with Nigeria are kind of normalised a bit and what goes on there. And then they have a little bit of resetting at the start of the third novel. Like somebody who's been in prison, they do like a prisoner exchange to get like the different characters out and things like that.
Okay.
You know, they kind of do a little bit of resetting.
Yeah.
And then we're off to the races again. Again, mostly with Aminat and Jack-Jax. And also the woman who was in charge of the S-45 group. She comes back in.
Okay.
And then the power dynamics change again. Because then you're never quite sure who is on what side. And there's this court case about when there's these reanimates, if you remember, the people who are brought back from the dead.
Right. That's always when they celebrate this thing and then people come out of it or something.
Yeah, like if you're injured or ill, it makes you well. But if you're dead and your body's been left around, it kind of brings you back to life, but not back
is
to life.
Like
you're
a zombie.
And then in the third book, you're sort of like, are they zombies or are they life? Or does it just take
How
longer?
How do we treat these people?
How do you treat them? Mm. You know, can they be used? Like, what are they being used for and what the outcome is, and how much are they influenced by wormwood?
Can I just take one of those as my personal slave or whatever?
It's not there, but I don't want to give away actually what the questions are about them. But there are deeper questions, and there is like this, there is a court scene, you know, like where they're like discussing this and the lawyers and things with the lawyers and stuff, which is good fun. And which all comes down to the fact that I didn't realise... Well, it's not that I didn't realise. It's such a great thing for a story to be kind of, in the first novel, to be kind of narrowly focused onto, like, the history of the situation.
Yeah.
And then for it to be, now watch the politics. But the politics isn't politics of what we've seen in other novels. The politics is very much then, this is someone who is, like, strong, like, African strongman politics, which is a different kind of thing. And, like, what you do, like, it's about a charismatic leader who inspires their followers and inspires loyalties.
Yeah.
In that way, which and the deals that he has to make with the criminals, because they're like, okay, so we need an army in this insurrection. Yeah. What we're going to do is anyone who's a prisoner now, like in prison, we can say, oh, you're going to be let out of prison in return for fighting. And that sounds really, really dangerous.
It's the same kind of like they position him in the power position.
Yes.
For like a trade-off, like, okay, whatever that trade-off is, but...
And I'm sure I've read this kind of stuff before in other books, but because this is written about Nigeria, it's written like it is like science fiction, African science fiction, and it feels like from that point of view, it feels like, okay, if you've grown up, or if like the history of your, I wouldn't say the whole of your continent, but so much of it is about like these charismatic leaders who come in and then you go on.
They promise like everything's gonna be alright, they're gonna provide food, trust in me, and all the other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they live in their palace with all the things.
Well, again, it's sort of like a futuristic kind of version of that kind of stuff.
I really like that. So it's a totally different view into different kinds of politics.
Yes. Anyway, we watched Star Wars, the latest Star Wars movie, which I keep wanting to call The Last Jedi because it's the last movie and I keep wanting to say the last, but it's not the last one. It's The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Skywalkers? Skywalker.
Skywalker.
Skywalker just won.
I don't know.
And we were talking about what we didn't like about like the introduction of the Lando Calrissian character, not actually Lando because he does turn up in the movie.
Yeah.
But there's this character that you meet and that reveals that Poe has a backstory, a bit of a backstory. You're like, hey, you were a spice runner. Well, you were a stormtrooper. Okay, we've all got a past. Let's put it behind us. And he meets a woman with a mask that you don't see her face. Maybe you see her eyes at one point or whatever. And there's this little bit of like back and forth between them, like kind of to express that Poe has a history. He has an interesting history.
Yeah.
He's not just a hotshot pilot. He actually has some history there.
Yeah.
And it fulfills kind of the same role as Lando in The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
That they turn up and there's a bit of standoffish and there's a bit of like, ooh, like this, going like this. And, oh, come with me, don't do this, all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then in the end, that person who he meets comes around and turns up at the end and does part of the hero role.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how disappointed we are is because the reason we like Lando and the reason why Lando has the hero moment at the end of Return of the Jedi, he's the one who flies the Millennium Falcon into the Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
No, not into the Star Destroyer, into the Death Star in this case. And he gets that hero moment. And the reason he gets that moment is because he never wanted to be part of the story.
Mm.
Like he was the guy in Cloud City. Han Solo turns up. And because Han Solo turns up, then Darth Vader turns up with the Empire.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I've got to make a deal. I've got to make a deal to get out of this situation. And unfortunately, one of my old friends, but also one of my old rivals and one of my old enemies who I kind of come up, but that moment when they first meet where you're like, what are they going to do? Is he going to punch him?
It's like, ooh,
and then they hug each other. We're like, everything's going to be okay. But of course, you understand everything's not going to be okay.
Yes.
You understand that there's a history there.
And you also understand that he has built up himself in that Cloud City.
Yes.
And that's his main incentive.
He's now respectable. He's now a statesman.
Yeah.
But then he's like, well, I care about my city so much that I am going to betray this group of ragtag characters who turned up with one of my oldest enemies/friends, my old nemesis, frenemy kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, this person turns up, but I care about my city so much that what I'm going to do is turn over, you know, he's going to be put in carbonite. But then as the deal changes, pray we do not modify the deal any further, all that kind of stuff like that. He realizes that the Empire is so bad that then he's got to go against the Empire to support these people.
Yeah.
And it takes him like half the movie, like once he's introduced at about, you know, what, halfway through the movie, all the way through to the end of the movie. And then when he ends up, he's like, well, I haven't got anything. I've lost everything to the Empire.
Yeah.
And also, I'm a big enough... That guy, my old frenemy, was a big enough, like, friend to me that I made that sacrifice, and also now I'm going to go and try save him, and I'm going to sign up with him.
Also, in that situation, he couldn't save Cloud City anymore.
Like, no.
So that was gone. So why not then...
Well, it's not that he couldn't have saved it, but he made that political calculation and realised, actually, let's make the announcement and let's have everyone evacuate Cloud City because it's no longer my city. It's no longer going to be, and I've got a duty of care to all of my people in my city to say, if you can leave now, because this place is not going to be a good place to live.
Yes.
Coming up shortly. And then when he has his hero moment at the end, where he flies in. We believe that he wants to do that. He wants to turn up and do that hero moment. And it was so disappointing that all of that story arc, which made us care about Lando Calrissian so much, was tried to be wrapped up in a single conversation on the rooftop between Poe and Lady in the Red Suit.
Yeah.
Which was, oh, I want to get out of here. Here's a coin. You take the coin. And you understand, that's how disappointing that was.
It was showing, like, first she mentions, oh, I have this, and I saved up all my things.
Yes.
It was, they tried to make sure that we understand it took her a long time, a lot of effort to do this.
Save up
because
everything.
She wanted to get out herself.
Yeah. And then.
And later on, she's like, oh, here, take it.
Yeah.
And wait, what?
Yeah, we didn't have that journey of someone like, we turn up, long history, like I used to be a scoundrel, and now I used to be a roguish scoundrel, just like Han Solo, but now I'm a statesman. You know,
yes.
Like what Lando was sacrificing was his entire city, was his entire life work or whatever.
We got to see that.
Yeah, we got to see.
We got to experience
a bit of that. We experienced him being a statesman. We experienced him doing, being, you know, charming and also all this other kind of stuff. There was so much going on there with this character. That when he was like, actually, I'm throwing him with the rebels, we cared about it because we saw what he gave
up.
We saw how much it meant to him. We saw how much Cloud City meant to him by him giving up his old friend. But then we realized how much the rebellion meant to him in the end by giving up the Cloud City.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of plays off each other. And what I got from the Rosewater insurrection and the Rosewater redemption was kind of that feeling with Jack-Jax.
Mm.
Like the thought process of what he goes through is that kind of story of someone who started off and was just, you know, whatever. And then he gets in with the criminals and all of those calculations that they go. It's sort of like, I really care about my city and all of the people that are in it. But I've got to make some really hard decisions to say, shall we declare independence against Nigeria or not? And how is this going to affect all the lives of the people here?
Of course.
And then, oh, that's all going wrong. We're going to have to make a deal. Or I say a deal. We're going to have to do something with the alien to understand what that means.
Mm.
And the whole kind. And this book is pretty much, pray this deal isn't adjusted. And I can't remember the quote that it is sort of like.
Yeah.
But as it goes through, you're just like, oh, all of the time, there's lots of political considerations going on about, yay, freedom. But also at some point, they're like, oh, we don't have universal healthcare anymore. And what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, what does universal healthcare mean when there's just sort of like these vibes animating from an alien which can just heal you?
Yeah. This is like and free
also,
healthcare.
Yeah, it's free healthcare. And also they have these ganglions, as they call them, where the electricity comes out of them.
Yeah.
And they tap into the electricity.
Yeah.
So they get free electricity everywhere.
Yeah.
But then during the siege, suddenly that's all turned off and they're like, oh no!
Oh,
you know,
no,
like,
we're
that kind
relying
of stuff.
On
yeah.
this. Yeah.
We're relying on all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So... again, I wasn't quite sure what I expected from this. I thought it would be like just more crazy stuff. Now, again, there is a lot of crazy stuff and I haven't even gone into all of the crazy stuff that's introduced here. There's this, you know, there's this time travel kind of stuff going on. You're like, time travel? There's prophecies and all this other kind of stuff, you know.
Okay, so it's all in there. It's like, it's like a pot with...
the craziness doesn't come of you quite as thick and fast as the first book.
Yeah.
But there is still these moments where you'd, as it goes through, you're suddenly like, oh, right, now I get what's going on. You know, the sexbot robot secretary is one of those things that as you go through, you're like, wow, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
This sounds also fun. With books like this, you know, I mean, people don't see you. I'm sure it is audible in your voice.
What?
But like talking about these books, you have this like
a sparkle in my eye. I'm glowing with my enthusiasm.
Whoa, it's all the crazy stuff.
Well, it's nothing just crazy.
No, but it's a lot of interesting and it's a lot of stuff that you don't read over and over in other books. So it's surprising and new, maybe?
What's that?
Like,
of this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
No, I don't even think it's new. But so many of these books that we read, is all of like, and it's all about politics. And you're like, it's not really about politics, it's about who's in power.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned this quite a few times. I'm only interested in a book which is like about political dynasties if it's more than about who is in power.
Yeah.
Because who is in power has almost no interest. I have no interest in who's in power. Mm. What I have interested in is the deals you make. I guarantee, does everyone have universal healthcare? Which, I mean, it's like such a crazy thing to bring that to. Well, oh, Rosewater Redemption is about universal healthcare. It kind of is. I mean, that's what like a lot of the book is. I mean, that's what the entire economy of the place is. There's these descriptions of like, okay, so if you live in a place where you can be healed,
yeah.
What you do is there's a way that you can make money is you're living in Rosewater, yeah. In the city, and you slit open your stomach and take out a kidney or two, yeah. Or your liver. You take out your liver,
yeah.
And you put your own liver on ice,
yeah.
And then over the next day or two, Rosewater, the wormwood, the alien, yeah. Will grow you a new liver inside of you,
yeah.
And then what you do is you slit yourself open, and then you put your own liver back in, and then you've got two livers.
Okay.
And then you go off to another country or go over to Nigeria
and then sell
say,
one of them.
I've got an organ donation, and you get them to take out the second one, the one that's newly grown, because that's all new and fresh.
Yeah.
And they take it out, and then you've got your own liver back, and you've got the money that somebody wants because they want some.
So you yourself are become transplant. Like an organ transplant plant.
Yes, you are an organ transplant plant. And it's that story is told from the point of view of the criminals, these criminal masters, like the people who run the criminal organizations. And they're like, this is really annoying because like I get a cut of all of the criminal activity goes on here with my protection rackets and all my other kind of stuff. And the one thing I can't get a cut of is the organ market, the illegal organ market, because it's not criminals doing that, and they don't rely on me.
Anybody
can do it if you want to, and it's just a way of earning money.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, oh right. So it's not just about a cool outcome of what would it be like if you could have universal healthcare to the point that anyone can have as many new kidneys as they want,
yeah.
Or new livers as they want.
Yeah.
It comes down to the point of like, okay, how would you make money with that? And then how does that influence the criminal underground? And then how does the criminal underground then tie back in with the political system, with Jack Jacks and all of his gang in his compound?
Now, there comes a very important question to my mind.
Yes, what's that?
If you have a place like that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't everybody just want to come to that place? How do they deal with that? Is it like being talked about? Like
lots of people come up from there. It's always talking about people
like
coming up from Lagos
that,
and other people.
That feels like a place for you know, where people do health tourism.
Yes,
kind of stuff.
That's the whole point. Is that in the start of the first book, that is what happens. Oh, yeah, was that, you know, we don't
health
want to
tourism in the EU.
Is that what it asks,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So, sorry, Siri, we're not actually interested. No, but that's what the first book is about. Like, everybody comes there twice a year, every 6 months. It's like these places which
But how do you avoid the people to settle down there?
Well, that's what they do. That's why the city is always growing. That's the whole point, is that the city is always growing.
Okay.
And then people don't want to live there if there's an insurrection and there's a war and it's under siege, you know,
okay.
Then it's a bit, it's not quite
then
as...
Then it's not quite as fun.
Yeah, not quite as fun. And then in the third book, where they're kind of rebuilding, the third book says, life in the newly independent city-state of Rosewater isn't everything its citizens were expecting. Mm. The mayor finds debts incurred during the insurrection are coming back to haunt him, you know. And the city's alien inhabitants are threatening mass murder for their own sinister ends, you know. So it's all about then, like, the third book is pretty much, these deals were made, this is how we resolved the second book.
How do we deal with it now?
How do we deal with that kind of stuff? Yeah. So, yeah, so it's really good.
So, these two books you kind of read back to back, right?
Yeah, I didn't read anything else in between because I read the second one and I was like, look, it's going to be difficult for me to talk about this because where the characters end, like it's the middle book of the trilogy problem.
Yeah,
that's why I started off with that.
So you listen to them as,
audiobooks, yes.
Audiobooks, good. Yep. Audiobooks?
Yes, very good reading by the audiobooks. I do always notice though that like when you start reading something, so like if I start reading this blurb, I go, all is quiet in the city of Rosewater as expands on the back of the all is quiet in the city of Rosewater as expands on the back of the gargantuan alien wormwood. You see, I made a mistake, went back and read it again. Sometimes they just leave in that first mistake. Like,
really?
Yeah, like every other chapter or so, the audiobook narrator will just restart a line and then just go back three or four words and read the line again as he's reading it. Which, again, it's interesting to see that you're just like, I kept on wanting to put a note in there or something and just send it off to Audible and just say, look, listen to this bit, this bit, this bit, this bit. So it's only a minor...
It happens a few times.
Yeah, like lots of times throughout the book. Whoever did the editing pass of this, they maybe looked at it and maybe they just didn't make a note at the time of like, oh, he repeated that word or whatever like that. So there is a bit of that. Let me go over to Audible and I can look up who the narrator is, because it's a good narrator who's actually pretty good at the different accents, although... I say he's pretty good at the accent. I've got no
idea. You don't know how the accent sounds.
I've got no idea how good. Well, I know how I know what a Nigerian accent sounds like compared to a South African.
Should sound like,
South African accent. Yes, it's narrated by Bayo Gadablamosi. Gadablamosi. No, Gabadamosi. Bayo Gabadamosi. And yes, I think he's done. Yeah, his only three books are these three books. He did all three of the Rosewater books. If you want to listen to this audiobook, you want to listen to it for free, check out audibletrial.com/SFBRP. And in doing so, you can get this book for free, Wormwood number one, Rosewater, Wormwood trilogy number one. And if you do that and you sign up to, if you sign up for an account, you get one Audible credit per month, and that's what I have. And then every 7 or 8 months or so, I ran out of credits because I do obviously get through more than one book per month.
Yeah, it's like
I always had like 12 credits left over at the end of the year.
They should have an option to have like 1.5 credits, and then they accumulate in between.
I think it's fine what I did this way, that like one credit per month, and then once or twice a year, I get credits. Because really what I want is about 18 credits per year.
Yeah.
I don't want 12 and I don't want 24.
Oh, so. I also saw so Rosewater came out in September 2018, right? And then in March this year, the Rosewater Insurrection came out, the second book. And then October, Redemption. So you timed it.
I love it when this happens.
So you timed it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wasn't going to start. And that's one of those things that you realise. And that's what I did what was that other book that I was just talking about before? Yeah, The Interference. I realised, oh, if I read this book now, the next book's coming out next month and I'll just read it next month. So,
yeah,
I'm a big believer in you can read the first novel in a trilogy normally and it stands alone, but then reading the second book, you're just like, oh. And I don't like it when you wait a long time. I realize that with the N.K. Jemisin ones and some of these other ones, it's sort of like, this year, this book, now you've got to wait an entire other year and then the next book comes out, and then wait another entire year and then the third book comes out, and I'm like, it took me, that was like 2 years, that was like a 2 year reading project.
It takes
project.
Me so long to get back into these, what it is.
Yeah.
Like I'm reading the second book of the Alistair Reynolds.
Yeah, the Blue Remembered Earth.
The Blue Remembered Earth book, the second.
The Steel Breeze, yeah.
Is it?
On the Steel Breeze,
Is it Blue Remembered Earth?
No, it's called Poseidon's Children is the series. Children. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm reading the second book, and I read the first one in July.
Yeah.
And it takes me about maybe 20, 30 pages to access the memories that I have. Oh, yes, I remember these characters. I remember that stuff.
With this
a year after?
Yeah.
Ooh,
but
that's
this one,
hard.
This one, I reviewed Rosewater in December last year, and now I'm reviewing these ones here. So it was like about 11 months or whatever in between.
Yeah.
And I picked it up pretty much straight away because Caro I remembered, Aminet I remembered, then there's lots of new characters. And there was a few other characters that came back in. And I was like, who's this person again? I was like, oh, right, that's the brother of that character.
Yeah.
And then you're like, who was this one again? Oh, yes, that was the crime boss who they had a run-in with, you know, that kind of thing. But generally you get through. What are you looking up now?
I'm going to put this on my want-to-read list.
Yeah, we have this... shared notes now. What's it called? Books Juliana might like, and you just finished The Light Brigade.
Oh yeah,
which was one of my favourite books of this year. One of the only 5-star books that I've had overall of this.
Yeah.
And I put A Memory Called Empire. Did you read that one, or is that
It's on my hold list.
Oh,
in
oh
the
yes,
library,
it's on the library. Yeah, so that'll come up in a few weeks' time or whatever. So I think you'll enjoy that one too. And I would say these, if you're satisfied with that first book, it's great. And you can stop reading there, but I do think that going all the way through, there is some interesting stuff there. Some of the stuff in the third book, there was some of these points where I'm like, that's a bit convenient. And the way that it pays off, again, I don't want to give away what it's a bit like, but it's the ending, there's lots of good stuff in that third book, but the ending, it isn't as fresh and as new and as interesting as I thought it would be. It reminds me too much of quite a bit of other science fiction that I've read.
Okay.
Which isn't bad. It's not a bad ending, but it seemed to be quite a safe ending, or a tried and true ending.
I remember this is one of those books that you just, it's good to read.
Yeah, I really enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, and so I'm happy to just continue with these.
It's fun spending time with these characters.
Also, you know, maybe then in the new year, I have some more commuting time coming up, and then I get into listening to audiobooks or something.
And you can, load up my Audible credentials on your phone, or I can get, I think there's a way of gifting audiobooks as well. I'm not sure how it works.
I'm not sure if, like, I think yours is in the Amazon.
Oh, yes, that's right, because I have a US, I have a .com one with all.
Mine is on the German one, and they don't interact.
I'll just give you my login credentials on your Audible app.
I gave up my Audible account anyway.
No, you don't give up your account. You stopped your subscription, but you still have your login, and all of your previous books are all there to listen to again.
Yeah.
You know what I did last night?
What?
I was thinking, I need a new audiobook to listen to, but I was a bit tired to actually make a decision and spend a credit on one.
So you went back and listened to something old?
Yeah, I wanted to remember what the opening to The Light Brigade was by Cameron Hurley, the book that you just finished yesterday. Yes. I was just like, let me just put that on and see what I remember from the start of it. Mm. And I immediately fell asleep. And I think that's the key. I think that's what I need to do now. If I actually want a book, and that was my problem. I was sleeping really badly because I kept on putting on these Rosewater books to fall asleep to. And then there's like battles happening and like aliens turn up and then there's there's all this other kind of crazy stuff and someone comes out and they've got tentacles and then someone else comes out and they can, you know, call down fire and all this other crazy stuff that's going on.
So you need some books that you already read so you get bored.
Well, that's the thing. Well, it's not that I get bored. It's like I'm not keeping up with what's happening because I already know. So maybe that's what I need to do. All right, we've talked 45 minutes about this book. Anything else you want to ask me about it or say about it, or should we just wrap up the review?
What did other people say on Goodreads?
Oh, okay.
I think it's...
I'm not sure, actually. I don't know how many of my listeners have read these ones.
I think it's acclaimed really well.
How would an African nation handle a colonizing alien power? This is Ziven rated it 4 stars. I like it when a sequel switches to a different point of view character. Yeah, it's pretty good. And Rosewater Redemption, Ray B rated it 4 stars. Look, it only came out a month or so ago.
Yeah, in October.
In October. So no, I don't have any friends who've on Goodreads who've actually read these books.
Well. Yeah, but in general, like the overall Goodreads is also like four to five stars.
Yeah, I mean, these follow-up is it's an average of 4 stars, and this one is an average of 4.12 stars. Oh, so normally I would rate I got to remember to rate the books.
Oh, yes. You forgot one.
So the first book I gave 4 stars to.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because maybe it's just that my memories now of reading these books make me... I don't know why I only gave it 4 stars and not like 4.5 stars. I don't know why. But if I was just reading that middle book, again, it's always that middle book lull. I'm like, I'm not reviewing the middle book. So I think overall, my rating is going to be for the Rosewood trilogy as a whole. And I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Good.
Because it's doing so much stuff that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it can be a bit messy. And I would prefer, weirdly, I would prefer to read a book which is a bit messy, which has got too many ideas in it, than a book which is playing too safe and just doing the same things over and over again.
Or doesn't get on with the story.
Or messes around. And now I'm looking back at it, I was thinking, that book that I was just mentioned to you before about A Memory Called Empire.
Mm.
Like, there's like 4 good ideas in A Memory Called Empire, and then nice characters and nice story and all that kind of stuff and exploring the world. Whereas when you get a book like this, which is just, they're just like, right, we're going to throw this in and throw that in. There's going to be angels. There's going to be time travel. You're like, how does time travel work in this book? You can't suddenly throw time travel into a book like this. But it works. And you're like, actually, that's a cleverer way of doing time travel than I thought. Because it isn't time. Well, it is time travel. But again, it's one of those weird things where there's the bicycle girl character and you're like, wait, are you dead? Like, do you only exist in the Xenosphere? But how can I be talking to you? You know, and all that kind of stuff where you're like, if there's a network that interconnects all can connect to all human brains, like there's ramifications of that. And I love the explorations because so many novels, that would be the one idea of the book. They'd be like, what would it be like if a Xenosphere exists in this way and we could play with time travel in this way and, you know, seeing the future? Are you actually seeing the future? or, you know, what's actually going on there?
Yeah.
Like, and that would be an entire book. Whereas this book, that's one of the elements. And then they go, and also we'll throw in this alien, we'll throw in healing, we'll throw in the, you know, all the politics stuff, we'll throw in the action, we'll throw in some sex robots, which becomes people's secretaries. You know, all of these other kind of things. Like, one of the main characters in the second book is a writer. Like Jack-Jack is saying, I need someone to come in to be the official, like, person who's going to tell my story, like, who's going to go on with my legacy. And I just love the idea that he finds, like, a novelist who lives in Rosewater and brings him in. It's like, right, you're part of my retinue now. Like, and so we get quite a few chapters from that guy's point of view. Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is crazy. He says, well, I'm not on, and the author's like, I'm not on your side. Like, I don't agree with you politically.
Yeah.
And Jack-Jack is like, it doesn't matter, just write your book, and then in the future, we'll see what
Yeah.
And it's so great to be part, like, to see a political leader who acknowledges that he might be the bad guy.
Yeah.
But sometimes he's got to make hard decisions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a really interesting point in that way.
A good exploration of that.
Yeah, and then the relationship that he has with his wife. Like, they're on opposite sides of, you know, this like I say, this court case. They're on opposite sides of the court case.
But there's, like, still husband and wife.
Yeah, and it's sort of like a really interesting dynamic that they have there. They're like, well, when we're at home, we don't talk about this. Our agreement is that I will never talk to her about her being a lawyer and what she does there, and she's never going to, like, interrupt what I do, and we'll go to the press events together and we photo together. And so that dynamic becomes like a really interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Of which, again, some novels that would be like the main thrust, and here it's like, oh, it's just one
bit. All of it.
So it's like, it does get messy. But I would rather a book which dares to be messy than one that tries to be safe and everything, all the questions are answered.
Mm.
And to be honest, actually, all the questions are answered. Well, maybe not all of them, but, like, most of the questions are answered.
That's good.
But yeah, like I say, maybe the ending isn't, like, it's a satisfying ending, but it, like, for the originality,
it's not quite as crazy as the rest of the book.
For all the originality that goes all the way through the rest of the book, you'll get to it. If you get to the end of the book, I'll say, what does that remind you of? And you could reel off, like maybe 3 or 4 or 5 other books and movies which have kind of resolved their plot in the same way, which, again, isn't bad, and they set it up really well. Like, it's not it doesn't come out of left field that that's what they're doing. No, it's well set up all the way through. But yeah, it's a tricky one.
Cool. All right, so the Wormwood trilogy, 4 stars.
4 stars overall.
Cool.
And that's kind of like a high 4 stars. But I don't want to give it 4.5 stars.
Mm.
Because I think when you get to 4.5 stars and 5 stars, you're like, everybody should read this book.
And all the books are equally good.
And equally good. But in this case, I think it's sort of like, this is really, really good. I really enjoyed my stay in Rosewater.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed reading about Wormwood and Cairo. And here's the thing. And this is what someone, I just noticed this here as I just looked at this Wormwood Insurrection. They get these reader Q&A, and I just saw this. I have read the first novel, and although I enjoyed it, I wasn't impressed. My main issue was the dullness of Cairo as a character and how stereotypical the premise is compared with other sci-fi novels, which I don't agree with. But, like, the dullness of Cairo, it's really great that in the second and third books, he becomes like a minor character.
Yeah.
Still an important character, but he becomes a minor character in a story which was mostly about him.
Yeah.
And just that twist makes me think, oh, great, actually, once one person's story is told, we don't have to keep going back and trying to find them more stories for that to be attached to that one character anymore.
We can just find new characters.
Find a new one. And that's kind of what annoyed me about Nine Fox Gambit. We're like, this is this person's character, and this is a person, and they tell their story, and they're there. And then I was like, right, and the next book's going to be about, oh, we've got to find more for these characters to do.
So either you have the same character having different adventures,
but they've already progressed, they've already done their story arc.
You just continue in the same kind of universe with different characters having a new adventure.
Yeah, and that's what they do here. But, I mean, they're all they're adjacent characters.
Yeah.
Anyway, so good book.
Cool.
Yes.
Nice. Now we need to keep on with our days now. Yeah.
Keep on with what?
With our day.
A day, yeah. We got to pack up. We're going away for New Year's, and we've got someone coming in, or some people coming in, and Airbnb-ing our apartment. And so we've got to clear up the apartment. Oh, that's what my plan is for this afternoon after posting this podcast. All right, that's it. You can email me at Luke Burridge. No, I'm luke@juggler.net. If you want to email me, I'm at Luke Burridge on Instagram and Twitter. Juliana is also on those places on Twitter as JUKU Berlin.
I guess.
Juliana Kunzendorf Berlin, and you post once per month on Twitter. So it's a really good follow. A really good follow. I'm posting a few
I'm
times a day.
I'm definitely not spamming you.
With the top 40 jugglers of the year, which is a big project that I do every year where I compile votes and see who's the most popular juggler, voted by people who...
In that year. Since when are you doing that? For like 19 years?
Since 2003.
Years,
so 17 years I've been running a chart of who's the most popular jugglers of the year as voted by other jugglers. Which is a good fun project, but it's taking a bit of work. And so if you follow me along on Twitter and Instagram and on YouTube and on Facebook, it's all
we'll
of those
see
places.
It all.
Also, if you want to support me in my, well, especially about juggling, but if you want to support us and you've already done your audibletrial.com/SFBIP, if you're interested in what we do otherwise as well, which you're probably not, but you can check out you can check out patreon.com/LukeBurridge. I should put a redirect on lukeburridge.com/Patreon
to
patreon.com/LukeBurridge. I could probably do that quite easily.
Even if you support Luke there,
yeah,
I can then sometimes buy myself some books.
Yeah. It's always handy to have a book fund for ebooks and audiobooks.
Yeah.
I'll go on to. I'm not sure what the next book I'm going to read is.
Okay.
Maybe I might just do Light Brigade again because now I can have it as an ebook on our joint iBooks account.
Yes.
And also I have it as an audiobook, so I might do the. The second read through as an ebook. Depends if I have time or if I just want to. If I want a book which I can switch between audiobook and ebook.
My next book is, that Alastair Reynolds.
Yep.
And then I'm going to do 15 Lives of Harry August.
Okay, cool. And also, I'm really looking for other books to read now. I do want some more inspiration for other books. So please send in your book review suggestion or book review. What you want to see reviewed, go over to Goodreads and join the SFBRP listener group. There's a thread where you can put stuff. I do get to every book which I see there, which seems to appeal to me. If more than one person recommends it, I will more likely get to it. Otherwise, what I'll do is I'll click on the link that you put to it, and I'll just see if it's the kind of book. I don't get to every single book mentioned there because sometimes I'm just like I'm just not interested. Like in Japanese graphic novels or whatever it is, I'm probably just never going to get to a Japanese graphic novel. I'm sorry about that. It's just not the kind of thing that that gets to me, that sits well. Not sits well with me, but whatever. Anyway, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Should we wrap it up there?
Yes.
Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.